So the topic we have, by my spirit says the Lord, is one of the common things that Christians always say, but we have never really bothered to find out the story behind that. So we just quote it without trying to find out why that statement. Why did the Lord say that? And it's in reading the background story that we understand what that thing is telling us. It's when you read the background story that you come to understand what the Lord meant. And then you see the application for your life. So, our text is Zechariah 4, I read 5 and 6. Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can we say amen to that? Now, the background to this is a revelation that Zechariah had. It was a revelation he had. And then the Lord was showing him some mysteries. And then when you read the verses prior to that, then you begin to understand what God was revealing to him and why God said, not by might and not by what? By power. And so if you go to chapter 3. Let me see if it's chapter 3. Yeah, let's go to chapter 3, verse 8. Before that, chapter 4, and see the background of it. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men, wonder that. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. I will bring forth, which one is this? King James Version. Yeah. It says, Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men. This Joshua is the high priest, and men are sitting before him. Say, for they are what? Men. Wonder that. For behold, God is saying what he's going to do by his spirit. Listen. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the what? The branch. So I'll bring forth my servant, the branch. And verse 9. For behold, the stone. I want you to remember the word stone, branch. Because we're going to refer to them later on. Behold, the stone that I have what? Laid before Joshua. Upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I engrave the I read from Matthew. I engrave thereof, said the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Are you beginning to have an idea what God is talking about? The stone? The branch? I will remove the iniquity in one day. How many days did it take to remove our iniquity? One day. I will lay in Zion a stone. The branch. We'll read more scriptures. But I want you to see that God is talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus Christ. So, if you come to... let's deal with this stone You know, and see what Isaiah said. The branch, let's see what Isaiah said in Isaiah 11. What is Jesus the branch, really? Isaiah 11. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of who? Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Who is he talking about? So he said, I will bring forth the branch. And if you read a lot of scriptures, because of time, we're not reading them. Jeremiah called Jesus a branch of righteousness. So God says, I will bring out the branch. A stone of foundation. Praise the Lord. Then let's look at Zechariah 4:7. Continues in that revelation that God was showing Zechariah. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a what? A plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Who is the headstone? Jesus, the cornerstone. The cornerstone. He said, he shall bring forth the headstone or cornerstone thereof with shouting, crying, what? Grace, grace, and grace unto it. So, what dispensation is Christ, God talking about? Jesus and his coming and the cross. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, you see, We say, always also, we also say, it's popular among Christians. He said, who art thou, O great mountain, before the river, thou shalt become what? Plain. I want to tell you that it's talking about Christ. Look at Luke chapter 3, verse 4. Luke chapter 3, verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Verse 5. Every valley shall be what? Filled. And every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. You see, what God was showing him, he says, who art thou, mountain? You shall be made. So, who is it talking about? If you are sure, let me hear you. Jesus Christ. So, it's these things that God was showing him and said to him, it's not by power and it's not by might, but by my what? Spirit. I will do these things. And I'm not doing them because of you either. It's me. My grace. Said, it's not by might. It's not because of what you did. It's not by power. It's not anything you did. It's by my what? Spirit. I will do this thing by my arm. Now, if you don't get the background story, you can catch it in the middle and not even know the importance of that thing we're reading. Because this is very critical, my brothers and sisters, that you understand the background. Why this testament? Why is God saying this? God doesn't joke around. Why is God showing this thing to this man? Very important that you understand the background. What God is saying, you know, in Isaiah 53, verse 1 and 2, our salvation, the Lord Jesus was referred as the arm of the Lord. Because if you read Isaiah 53, it's all about the cross all the way down. Who shall believe? And the arm. They began to tell us what the arm of the Lord did. Now, if you a Christian. And I want you to listen to me very well. You know, it's amazing what, where God is going with this. It's something I was preaching on Sunday. And God told, okay, he said, your pastor has preached this thing. How many times, okay? 17 times. He said, they're not getting it. And this is the 18th time. He said, has even demonstrated it. He said, they are more interested in the demonstration than the revelation. And the Lord brought me back to it again. I'm telling you, he brought me back. He said, I'm going nowhere. Go back there. They are not getting it. And the Lord told him that if he teaches this very thing, that they will not believe him. Right? They will not believe him. Because he came here and hugged me. He said, Pastor, wow. He said, this is what God told me that you are preaching. And that they will not believe it. That's the question God was asking. Who shall believe what? Brethren, I beg you to open your ears. I'm begging you. If God is bringing something again and again and saying to him, your pastor has done this 17 times, they're not getting it. Open your ears. It will help you. Amen. The reason God is saying this is not by power, by might, so that you and I will understand that our salvation is not of the arm of the flesh, but is of the arm of the Lord. Reason, so that you place your faith where it should be, so you experience the benefits of your salvation. If you don't place your faith on the arm of the Lord that did all of this, you will not experience nothing. Nothing. Zero. Zip. As simple as it sounds, I'm telling you, many have issues there. I wish everybody believes it. So that your faith should be on that power of the Spirit, on that arm of the Lord that has brought you salvation, that has raised the stone, that has raised the cornerstone himself, and raised the stone a foundation. For there is no other foundation anyone shall lay, except that which has been what? And God says, I've raised a stone of stumbling. So people will be stumbling over the stone. He said to Zechariah, a stone is coming out. A cornerstone. The branch. But it's not by power. Neither is it by might. It's by my what? If you don't get this point clear, brethren, if you don't get this point clear, you will not enjoy your salvation. If you don't get this point clear, you will not. Absolute truth. You can be coming to church and be doing everything, running around the church. You can be doing all of that. You see the benefits of that arm of the Lord? You're not seeing it. Because it's revealed to only those who believe it. Only them. It's not by running around. No. It's who has what? That this is the arm of the Lord. It's the arm of the Lord. It's not my arm. It's not my arm. People have struggled there. That's why they struggle with grace. Because they want to make it the arm of man and arm of God. And God said, no. Not by power, not by might, but by my what? Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, this is where I want the faith of the church to be. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of what? Men. But where? Come on, church. But where? Come on, church. But where? In the power of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Your faith should be ruggedly placed on the arm of the Spirit. What the Spirit has done that he showed to Zerubbabel. The stone is coming. Cornerstone. The branch. The Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Come on, I said praise the Lord. The reason is, if you don't understand this, the the senses of a man appeals to him easily because he satisfies his human reasoning. In his eyes, he thinks this is what it should be. You know, Jesus said something. He said, they do these things thinking that they are serving God. For instance, he said, the heathens, they think that by too much talking, that God will hear their prayer, which a lot of people still think today. They think it's by the arm of the flesh. It's by too much talking. Say, no. It's not the arm of the flesh. It's not by too much what? Talking. No. It's the arm of the Lord. It's the arm of the Lord. Your faith should not be in the wisdom of men. What you think it should be, and what other unbelieving believers think it should be. But what the Lord has revealed to you, it should be. What did he say? It's not by power. It's not by might, but by my what? Spirit. First Samuel 2:9, the last line said, For by strength, no man shall what? Prevail. Can't prevail against sin. Can't prevail against sickness. Can't prevail against Satan. Can't prevail against anything by that strength. You can. Once it's you, you can't prevail. You can't prevail. Amen. I said amen. You can't prevail. Now, let's read this scripture that illustrates this thing again for us, even further. Jeremiah 17:5. Thus said the Lord. What did the Lord say? Can we read it? Cursed be what? The man that trusted in man and make it flesh. He is arm. Whose heart? Departed from the Lord. He doesn't trust the arm of the Lord. He goes to church. He thinks he does. But the Bible is saying that if you trust a man, trust making flesh your arm, that you will not be under the blessing of God. You will not experience it. Exactly what Isaiah said. Who has believed so that the arm of the Lord will be revealed through his life. Who? He said, if a man trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, trusts in his righteousness, people struggle with the gift of righteousness. It's all part of it. Because God says, hey, I'm going to produce righteousness. It's not your power. It's not your own. Your own is fitting right. It's the one I will what? Give you. And Paul realized that and said, I don't want the righteousness that comes from the law anymore because that is my flesh. That's me. He said, I want the one that God produces by his power. The one he gives me. The act of his spirit. Because Paul realized that all that of the flesh, if you trust them, you can't walk under the blessing of God. Now you begin to see the importance of understanding the background of that, not by power and not by mind. Because if you don't, you can leave that scripture, be quoting it all over the place, but you can't get the benefit of it. Until you understand what it's trying to bring to you. What is it that is not by power, Lord? What is it that is not by mind? What are you talking about? I'm talking about Jesus and the cross and the work I'm going to do. He said, I'll do a work in your day. Even if they tell you, you won't believe it. He said, but if you don't, you'll be in trouble. And the Lord said to him, he said, your pastor has been talking. I didn't even count 17 times. He said, I'm not getting it. You know why I come and demonstrate all that? Because in my spirit, I sense it. Sometimes I start, tears come to my eyes. Because this is very simple. Very, very simple. Some of the issues is some of the backlog of junk teaching that we have taken. Those are the things that resist the word and won't let it penetrate our heart. And yet it's not working for us. Can't show anything from it. So he says, thus said the Lord, cursed is the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. You see, the heart is not on the Lord. It's not on the Lord. It's on other things. It's on what he's doing. It's on what he's doing. My brother called me, my beloved friend, really my deep brother, Dave. We are really friends. Me and Dave were. So I said, he's mad and he's mad. They were friends. So he called me and said, Pastor, can we share something? So I said, yeah. So he asked me a question about scripture, which is very good, very, very good. You know, the first shall be the last, and the last will be the first. And those who came earlier, getting the same pay with those who came, shouldn't that baffle you? Doesn't it look like injustice? But Jesus said, when they started to quarrel and to complain, he said, hey, listen, what I'm giving you is my own thing. It's not yours. It's my own. He said, have I done wrong that I'm giving it the way I want? I told him, I said, do you know that what God is giving us is our own thing? It's grace. We didn't pay for it. So, some people come to church think that God will give them special attention for whatever reason. And God said, no. I'm no respecter of what? I'm no respecter of it. Everybody has access to my blessings through Christ. Whether you came 10 years ago or just came now, this blessing is all yours. So that's what it means. The first who came first is the same thing with the last, and the last is the same thing with the first, because the blessings is all yours by grace. He said, what I have is my own now. He said, have I done wrong that I'm giving you what is mine? He said, did I promise you more? He said, not what I promised you, I gave you. Promise eternal life for everybody. So why should you get more than another person? Praise the Lord. I said, some people come into church, they think because they do this or they have this position or this title that they are special before. I said, there's nothing like that. That's not like that. The day you dismantle that thing, you can walk humbly. You can walk humbly. And some people pray. I've heard somebody pray and say, Lord, because I'm your servant, I open my eyes. Honestly speaking. And this is a leader, general overseer of churches. I open my eyes. I said, what? Because you are who? I didn't say anything. Okay, quiet. But I knew that he thought that before God, he was somebody that needed special attention. And that's why some of you follow prophets around, because you think they're special. God will hear them. Both you and them are ignorant, unbelieving believers. Can you hear me this night? If you can hear me, say amen. It's all these kind of things where we put our faith in men, put our faith in human beings, put our faith in whatever we imagine that will impress God. I said, no. It's not by power. It's not by man. It's by my what? And I purpose to do these things. Zerubbabel, Zechariah, see what I'm going to do. And none of you make me do that. I have purpose to do it. While you were yet sinners, Christ what? I purpose to do it. It's my grace. So, in verse, the same Jeremiah 17. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. The same Jeremiah 17, 7. Okay, sorry. Jeremiah 17, 6. We are not finished. For he shall be like the heat in the desert. You see that? And shall not see when good cometh. The person that trusts in the arm of the flesh. Shall not see when good what? Cometh. But shall inhabit the parched places of the wilderness, full of complaint, in a salt land and not inhabited. Verse 7, contrast that. Blessed is the man that trusted where? In the Lord. And whose hope the Lord is. 8, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of what? Drought. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful. Said, warning you now. Your heart can deceive you, thinking you trust the Lord when you trust men. So we can easily see the importance of what we're teaching tonight. We can see the importance, seriously. So that we can live, we don't live in parched desert places. We live beside still waters. Because after all, it's your life. It's your life. It's your life. Either leave it in parched places, desert, or you leave it in green pastures. But the difference is, blessed is the man that trusts the what? In the Lord. And this one trusts in the arm of the flesh. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. There was one situation one time, and I prayed and prayed. Man, I really prayed. Look, I was harassing God almost. Prayed, and all of a sudden, I had this rebuke. He said, are you going to talk me into being faithful? Are you going to convince me now so I've been unfaithful? Are you going to now talk me into remembering to be faithful? I'm telling you, it was serious rebuke. He said, I've been faithful before you were born. We'll always be faithful. That's my nature. So you think you are going to talk me to become faithful now? That's what he was asking. But when I found out later what those people were doing, I said to myself, oh my God. Oh my God. And I called one of them. I said, you people were doing so. They said, yes. Hedonic practice. No, I'm telling you, the Hedonic practice. But I didn't know. Here I was, harassing God. And God said, are you going to make me faithful now? So you are talking to me, want to make me faithful? Brethren, can I tell us something? God is faithful. Faithful yesterday, faithful today, faithful forever. His word is yea. If he tells you what to do, do it like that. God doesn't need all this ritualism and all these things. No, he tells you, hey, it's not by power, it's not by might. But by my, he said, put your faith in my arm. That's all. Those that trust in him shall not be put what? Case closed. Don't need more than that. Look at John 8:63. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profited nothing. The words I speak to you, they are what? Spirit. And they are what? Life. They are spirit, they are life. Because it's the word of God. He said, I don't speak of my own. I speak what my Father gave me. You know? So the New Testament that we are in is a product of the arm of the Lord. It's a product of the power of God. It's a product of the Spirit of the Lord. And so we're told in 2 Corinthians 6:3-6. See the comparison in 2 Corinthians 3:6 again. Talking about this is the arm of the Lord. This is the work of the Spirit of God. It's not what men do. 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 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament. Watch this comparison. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth what? Life. Verse 7. But if the ministration of death, you see what is calling the Old Testament law? Ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. Then he continued to say that the ministration of the Spirit is much more glorious. So he said, it is the Spirit that gives life. It's the hand of God. It's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the arm of the Lord. It is not the work of the law that gives life. Law does not give life. The Bible says, there's no law that gives life. It is the arm of the Lord. It is the arm of the Lord. So the New Testament that God was showing this man and said, I'm going to bring a stone, going to bring the cornerstone, going to bring the branch, but it is by my Spirit. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit continues to teach the church, that this is the hand of the Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of men. Don't attribute it to men. Don't think that men have anything to do here. That's why the Bible says you are saved by grace and that not by yourself. So no man can. But simple. It's all the same thing that God is bringing to us all the time. All the time. All the time. So the work that saved you and me is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's what God did in Christ that saved us. The thing that will keep us saved is still what God did. Amen? I said amen. So, there are three things I want to talk about, and then we'll illustrate it practically so you understand it further. You are going to understand it today. I'm sure you will. So we'll illustrate it further so you see practically how it works, and it will be clearer to you. If it's not clear, don't worry. It will be. So there are three things I want to bring out now. For all the things I've been saying, it's obvious to us that all the blessings of God, all the work that God did on the cross, is not the work of men. Am I right? Come on now. Church, am I right? So what can you do to improve on it? Tell me the things we do to try to improve on it. Can you do better than it? Can't improve on it. So all you do is to come and take it. Come and take it. Just come and take it. Just come and what? Come and take it. Can't improve on it. Number two, point I want to make is that the bridge between you and the power of God is Jesus. I want to come down and emphasize this one. The bridge, if I need to come. Do we have anything? That's bring the flag, one of the flags, put a flag down. If you can come out. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Have you been getting what I'm saying so far? Okay. I want to show you something. Please, I want you to. Can you come out? Okay. This is Christ. I mean, this is the power of God. This is you. The bridge, church, the bridge between you and this arm of the Lord is Christ. All this we're talking about is the bridge. If you remove Jesus, there's a gulf between you and God. You can't cross it. Let it sink into your ears. The bridge between you and God is not your goodness, not anything. It's Jesus. There are no two bridges. It's only one. Again, the connection between you and the arm of the Lord is who? Jesus said it. Nobody cometh unto my Father except through me, by me. It is through this bridge. You cross this. Want to connect the power of God? Want to connect the arm of the Lord? It is through this bridge. That's why the Bible tells us that Christ is our sufficiency. And we're complete. Your shouting is not the bridge. You turn to the right and turn to the left and turn to the left. It's not the bridge. It's only one bridge. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my word. So, but you want to connect it now to Jesus. I can't demonstrate this enough. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Acts 3:16. And his name. And his what? His name. Through Acts 3:16. Acts 3:16. And his name. And what? First of all, and his what? His name. And through what? Through is through that it goes. Through faith in his name had made this man strong. That's how we accessed the arm of the Lord that brought this healing. Because God says, you see, healing, answer to prayer, salvation is the arm of the Lord. Not by power, not by might, by my spirit. It's the arm of the Lord. And then he says, to access it now, and his name, through faith in his name, that made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is what? By him, had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of all. It's through him we access this power. It's faith in his name. It's him. It's him. Everybody say it is him. Say it more. It is him. It's him. You don't have another bridge. And don't create one. It won't work. God, say how long I've been serving you. And yet this is happening to me. Okay? So that service is your bridge. That's why nothing is happening. Because you brought your own bridge. And it can't stand. Let's read the Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Acts 4, 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the what? Stone. This is what? Remember what God showed to Zerubbabel. He said, I will bring out a stone. He says, that will be the foundation before the high priest. See, that is the foundation I'm going to lay. Which means you can't build without this foundation. Upon this foundation, you build everything. This is the foundation. He says, this is the stone which was set at naught. You pushed it what? Aside. By you builders. Which has become the head. What did God say to that man? He said, I will bring a head stone. That is, without it, the house crumbles. A head stone. And Jesus himself said, John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you remove me, you are incapacitated. If you remove me in your prayer, you are incapacitated. If you remove me in your life, capacitated. You remove in anything you are doing, you can do nothing there. That thing won't produce anything. Because I'm the connection to the hand of the Lord. I'm the connection to the power. Praise the Lord. Okay? But you know that God is a spirit. Am I right? God is what? And so we don't see it. We don't see God. We don't see his arm. All these things told us about stone, cornerstone, and we don't see. But it's real. That's what God was talking to you. Well, you see, bringing us back to the same thing again. You see, but it's real. Because it's the work in the spirit realm. It's not the arm of the flesh. It's not the arm of the flesh that you see. It's not what you see. It's not what you feel. It's by my spirit. And his spirit is not feeling. It's not good people. First Corinthians 2:13. First Corinthians 2:13. And we are setting these truths forth in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Holy Spirit, combining and interpreting, I'm reading Amplified, combining and interpreting spiritual truths with spiritual language to those who possess the Holy Spirit. But the natural non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome or admit into his heart the gifts and teachings and revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless, and nonsense to him. He is incapable of knowing them or progressively recognizing, understanding, and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned and estimated and appreciated. Why do you think that somebody who is carnal does not accept the revelations of God? Why? Why? The Bible told us why. That foolish to him. Why is it foolish to him? It's not revealed to his senses. It's not revealed to his body. The way he's feeling, he's still feeling fever. He's still feeling this. He's still feeling that one. The conditions of his life are totally like this. So it's not revealed to him by his what? Senses. So he thinks he's foolish. Because all he's waiting for is what he will see before he can say, yeah, the anointing is here. I'm feeling it now. I've told you to cure yourself of that kind of language. It's not revealed that way. It's not revealed that way, brethren. It's not revealed. It's not the arm of the flesh. It is not the arm of the flesh. It's not man. It's the Spirit of God. You can see him. But it's real. It's true. His words are yeah. So it's not by what you see, but by what you know. But by what you know. Be what you know. What is revealed to your spirit. Therefore, only by faith we receive. Because you have faith is about things not seen. Things what? And we're talking about things that are not seen. Faith is about the arena of things not seen. It becomes substance to you. It becomes real to you. That's called faith. Things not seen. Because once it is seen, it's no more faith. It's about things not seen. Evidence of things what? Not seen. Substance of what? Things we hoped for. They are not seen, not revealed. There's nothing that God is doing or God has done that's revealed to your senses. It is not by power, not by might. It's not the arm of the flesh. Don't look for it there. It is the arm of the Lord. It is the Spirit of the Lord. You don't see him, but he reveals it by his word. He shows it to you. And that word he says is spirit, is life. That word is spirit, is what? It's life. It shows you something. Do you know? Brethren, do you know? You can know spiritual truth more than seeing vision. Spiritual truth can be so real to you, you don't need vision. You don't need vision because your spirit is alive and sees that thing and knows that that thing is true. Oh, how many times has God shown you things in the dream and things? After 1-2 months, you forget. And you start complaining again. You forget them now. The brother that came to me and were talking, they were really very desperate. And then they said, they didn't know, they were in a situation. And I said to them, okay, let me ask the Lord about this. And I went to the Lord in prayer. I said, Lord, you got to tell me something about this. Because these are people like pastor. So I must know. I need to know because they need an answer, Lord. Give me a call. I need to know, Lord. I need to know. And the Lord said to me, he said, I've told them what they need to hear. So every single time I talk to them, they get excited. After some time, they forget it. They go into depression. So I'm not talking to them again. Let them go back to what I told them. And I called them that night. 11. I said, the Lord said, he's spoken to you people. They say, yeah. He even showed us visions and dreams. I said, what are they? They said, we wrote them down. I said, okay, go back to them now. And then the Lord said to me, he said, this thing will happen very soon. But they should go back to what I told them. So we rejoiced and we went back and we brought out those things and went through them. It wasn't 2 weeks that thing happened for them. It wasn't 2 weeks. It happened exactly. So sometimes you have dreams and things. It doesn't last now, you forget them. But you see, when God gives you a revelation by your spirit, it's more real than dream. That's what I'm trying to bring out here. Peter said we have a more sure word of what? Prophecy. It's a more sure word. He said we saw the glory on the mount. We saw it. He said, but we have this word we have is a more sure word than what seeing that. See why people don't value Bible studies and things? Because they don't know. They think that vision will give you more revelation. No. Peter said, we saw his glory on the mount. We saw it. But we have a more sure word of what? Prophecy. That you do well to give attention to this thing until it breaks into your spirit and brings light and brings understanding. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So let me show you something here. But before then, what's the meaning of the word actuate? Actuate. A-C-T-U-A-T-E. Now grammar has come. Actuate. If you went to Oroku Grammar School, this is your time to show them where you went to school. If you went to Obagas, don't talk. Don't talk. If you went to Okonano Girls, please don't talk. If you went to Oroku DMGS, you can talk. What's the meaning of actuate? No expo. Don't go to your phone. Did you go to Oba Girls? If you went to Oba Girls, don't talk. If you went to Okonano, don't talk. What is this, Esther? To put into motion. To make, to put. Listen to me. Faith. Listen, brethren. Faith does not produce the thing. It's already produced. By grace. Because God says, hey, my spirit, I will produce the stone, the branch, the disc. Even before you believe it. While you were seen as, I produced this. I'm not waiting for you. It's my grace. But faith, listen to me. Faith is the lever that when you pull it, boom, the thing, you set it into motion to come from the spirit realm into the natural realm. If you don't pull that lever of faith, it's still there, but you're not seeing it. That's why Jesus said, only believe and you shall see. But you can't see unless you believe. So only believe is because the hand of the Lord does it. And all you need to do is to say, yes, it is true, it's mine. Not just it's true, but it is mine. It's true for me. You make it personal. It's mine. It's mine. I got it. It's mine. So that lever moves it into the natural realm where you can now see it. But it has been there all the time. As I'm talking to you, brethren, healing has been there all the time. It's been there. Listen to me. Power to prosper has been there. Wisdom has been there. It's been there. He said, I gave you sound mind. I gave you spirit of love. Ability to love has been there all this time. But you will not believe that he has given it to you, that it's there, so you won't love people. You hate them, gossip about them, and create trouble for yourself. You bring the devil into your life. You just invite him in. It's a dangerous thing to have Satan in your life because he's a killer. I'm not kidding you. He's a killer. Don't wait or he takes your life. Because if you go, you are gone. He's there. Scripture says so. I've given you all things that pertain to what? Life and what? Who said that? God. When did he give it to us? In Christ. He's there. But he said, who shall believe? So that now the arm of the Lord, what he has done, will be now revealed in the natural. Are you following me? I want to show you some scriptures and I'm done. Honey, how am I doing? Doing okay? Okay, fine. Is my soup ready? The love I know now is soup. It has to be onubu soup. Let's read this scripture. Are we doing okay? Praise the Lord. Let's read this scripture. 2 Kings 6:10. It's just to use this scripture to illustrate it. It's not the best illustration in the New Testament context. Because in the New Testament context, we don't walk by sight as such. Because Peter said, yes, we saw this thing. We saw that transformation. We saw the cloud come. We saw it. We saw Elijah. But we have a more sure word of prophecy that will give you a real revelation that does better than what you saw in visions. So in the New Testament context, the word of God is primary for us. That's the source of faith. Visions is not source of faith. Faith cometh by what? Because it's a more that the word is God. The word, man, it's incredible what the word of God can do. It's amazing what it can do. It will give you understanding that is so solid that even a vision can. Visionary will come and be talking, you'll be looking at him and say, are you crazy? That's how when the devil gives you wrong dream and wrong vision, you will know it's a lie. You don't talk to him because you got something before he came. Praise the Lord. So, but I'll use this to illustrate this. Just to illustrate that, you know, bring out the point. It's about Elijah. It's about Elijah. 2 Kings 16. There's somebody here. Your life, about my left side. Your life has not been going okay. But this night, the hand of the Lord is turning you like a vessel. I don't know how to describe it. You know how they switch, how they rotate something? The hand of the Lord is rotating your life to position it the way it should be. By my left side. You're rotating, oh Jesus, thank you, Lord. You're just rotating it. Thank God you came to this conference. 2 Kings 6:10. And the king of Israel, can we rise up a little? Because God is doing a lot in people's lives right now. Lift up your hands and begin to worship him. Give him praise, give him glory. Give him glory for what he's done for you. What he's done for you. What he's done for you. What the healing is giving you. Those things that are valuable there. Give him glory. Worship him. Glorify his name. Give him praise. 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 Give him glory. Give him adoration. Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there. That this is a Syrian king attacking Israel with a lot of army. And then every single time he will plan, God will show to Elijah what he was planning. So he will tell the king of Israel what to do and he will escape. You know, so that's how it starts right here. So in verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once, not twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So he said, there's a sabo here. Okay. Verse 12. And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet. So it's Elisha, not Elijah. Really. Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest, where? In the bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is. I'm going to deal with him, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in. You see how foolish the devil can be. This man knows what you are planning in your bedchamber, and you are planning to go and catch him. You know, so it's in Dothan, verse 14. Therefore, sent he thither horses and chariots and great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses, chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, what? My master. Did you remember the disciples of Jesus? Carest thou not that we perish? Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that what? Be with them. Let's look at it right here. Let's look at it right here. Look at it right here. This is the servant. This is Elijah. Both of them, who has peace? Elisha or the servant? Who has peace? When he began to talk about the enemy, what was Elisha talking about? They that are what? With us. You see, when you have faith, you have good report. You've been talking about those things that are happening to you. You'll be talking about the arm of the Lord. Because there's something you know. And you enter the rest of God. Elisha was perfectly at rest. It's called the rest of God because it's God that said, don't bother. He gave you the rest. He gave you the reason to be calm. That's why God says, enter my... He didn't say enter your rest. No. Enter my what? The rest that I'm offering. It's because, look, I've given you, look, I've provided this thing, so don't worry about it. Are you following me? So, and the Bible said, he that has believed, do enter what? His rest. So, did Elisha have rest or not? Okay. His servant, does he have rest? No. Did he know what Elisha knew? But Elisha was telling him the truth. If Elisha stopped there, the man will. Because this is a wicked king encompassing the whole city with soldiers. It's not one person. Thousands of chariots. And the man was saying, oh my master, what shall we do now? Pastor, what are we going to do? Pastor, I dreamt in the night. I ate chicken. I also ate okra soup. Do I vomit them? Vomit if you like. He that believeth has entered what? His rest. Why? He knows something. There is something revealed to him. The arm of the Lord has provided the answer already. He knows it. So you are not shaking him up. And if you come and knock to him and say, Oh, my brother, what are you going to say? No. The scripture says, Elijah said to him, they that are with us are greater than those. How about saying to whatever, the greater one is what? Is him. That he, that's enough to make you calm down and sleep. Because they can't do anything. They can't do anything. They can do zero. When I mean zero, somebody told me, say, I will curse you. I said, you can curse me. I laughed my head off. I said, if you don't try, because you put yourself in trouble. You can't curse whom God has blessed. You can't overrule God. Impossible. He said, if I open a door, no man can what? Your curse can't close it. The blessing door is open. Can't close it. You are late. I'm saved. I'm not a child of God. So your curse is late. But you know, that's what some of you hear. Hey, my husband, what are we going to do? Did you hear what that man said? Hey, well, my Lord. Hey, I call pastor. Holy Ghost fire. You know why you are doing that? You know why you are doing that? You don't know anything. My people are destroyed for what? That's the problem you have. You don't know the arm of the Lord. For those who know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. You don't know the arm of the Lord. It hasn't been revealed to you yet. When you know the power of Christ in you, if you know Christ in you, if you know who you carry, if you know who you carry, if you understand who he is, oh my God, you will worship. You will make, you lift up your hand and begin to worship. David said, though I'm encompassed around, he said, in this will I trust. So let's see what happened. So he said to him, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, see this, my servant. I pray thee, open what? His eyes, that he may see. Things that are real there, he doesn't know they are there. That's why he's rejected. Healing is there, you don't know it's there. That's why you believe the doctor more than God. Favor is there. The Bible said that God has surrounded the righteous with what? Favor. Favor is there. It's there. But you don't know it's there. Can I hear amen? Is it you they wanted to fire? And the Lord said, no, they can't do it. And the Lord said, no, instead of that, you'll be, were you not promoted? Instead of being fired, and they gave you a raise? Oh, twice? Okay. They called and said, we'll fire you. I mean, and the Lord told me, said, there's somebody here, they told you to fire. I said, they can't fire her. And I come to both of them. I say, have you ever praised God? I say, when you go home, praise God. Am I telling lies? So when you go and praise, forget about what they're saying. They can't do anything. Somebody got crazy and said to Jesus, I can release you. Jesus said, no, you don't have the power. You don't have what? The power. Unless it is giving you, yes, you don't have. I keep telling people, all those your bosses don't have the power. Power belongs to who? And it's your father. Fire you for what? Unless you did something for which you'll be fired, they can fire you. But you did nothing. Whoo! Glory! Say, fire me. Hallelujah. He can't fire me. Who is it that says, and it comes to pass, except the Lord has what? Commanded it. Has he commanded it? No. But there's something he showed you he's doing. You are looking at those things they are talking about. The Lord didn't command them. You won't sleep. Oh! Church, he giveth his beloved what? Sleep. What kind of Christianity? Come on, man. So, he said, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened what? The eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was also full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. And these are horses you can't see. You can't see these ones. I bet they are there. They said, okay, if it's horses, we have horses. They are there. Now, after that, what do you think happened to the young man? He calmed down. Because he had a glimpse into the arm of the Lord. But that's not the way we go in the New Testament. We have something better than what they are. The word of God reveals to us what we have. That is right there. Amen? Paul said, none of these things what? Don't touch me, nothing. He said, I know in whom you can't move me, nothing. Nothing. Now, I will close with this one. Luke 24, 41. Are you being blessed? Luke 24, 41. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. Did Jesus before his disciples. After he rose, they were here. And he wanted to prove to them, I'm real. So he ate. And he said unto them, these are the words. Notice this. Brethren, they saw him physically before he died. They saw him after he rose, but they still didn't understand until something happened. That's why I'm telling you, visions and things is the word of the Lord. The Spirit of God has to reveal it to you. They walk with him. They saw him do miracles. Now he died and he rose up and came. And they were still doubting. He said, okay, do you have fish? Let me eat. And he gave him, he ate. But they still didn't understand. You think that having seen him, okay, do you think it's easy to understand? Supposing your brother died, and he came back, and came to your bedroom, you are going to run. Let's not because it's not, if it's me, I would be like them. Have you ever seen a dead man rise before? So some of them were still. That's why he said, give me fish, let me eat. Because they were afraid. Hanging out with a dead man, we saw him die. Man, what is this? So he ate with them. But watch what happened, church. This is where we're headed. In verse 42. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I have spoken to you now, while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning me. Verse 45. That's what changed everything. It's not that they are seeing him that changed everything. In verse 45. And he what? Opened their understanding that they might now comprehend the scripture. So immediately he opened the understanding, everything came together. Pow. So, wow, that's true. That's the Lord. That's him. Wow. Yeah. I see it now. That's what he said. Before then, until their eyes, that's what happened to Elisha's servant. His eyes was open. If your eyes is not open, all those things there, you won't see them. And no matter what they tell you, hey, God provided you this. You can say, yeah. You won't see them. Until your eyes is what? Why? Because the arm of the Lord is the Spirit. You can't see it with the natural. God has to open your eyes. And when you see it, your faith will latch on. No more fear. No more doubt, because you've seen the glory of the Lord, that this is real. This is what? True. He that is with me is greater than he that is in the world. I've seen the glory of the Lord. This is the truth. His word is yea and amen. The next time you talk, you won't be talking about their chariots and horses. You'll be talking about the one that is what? With you. The one you've seen. That's what you'll be talking about. I'm done. If you come on Saturday, we'll continue from here. And Sunday, we'll have a healing service.